most people that know me know that I'm not really a talker. And once I start talking, there's only a few words left, it seems like, before the voice gets a little weak. But with God's prayers, we'll get through this service fine. I want to open up this prayer, this part of the service. I want to thank everyone who's participated so far. And Jenna, what a beautiful song. The young people and the leadership they have, such a wonderful testimony to the love of God and for everything that the sound team does and the choir and the people who are playing the instruments. It's such a great place to be here today. And up to this point, things have been pretty darn good, I have to say. It's been excellent. I put my Bible right there for a reason. Two reasons. The scripture today, I'll have it on the board up there. And the other thing is something I want us to talk about or to think about. It's something we need in our world today. We need to stop defending the Bible, and we need to proclaim the Bible. I set the Bible right there because it can defend itself. As you've heard Gerald say, it's inerrant, it's infallible, it is without error, and you can't prove it wrong. It defends itself. Well, what can it not do? It can't proclaim itself. That's left up to us as Christians to proclaim the word. So we need to be reading it. We need to know what it says. We need to be able to say in this situation where the Bible says this, and where the truth is preached with authority, it will penetrate into the hearts and soul of the people. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word teaches us that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are present. We know you are among us. Please open the hearts and minds to all that are present and to all that will hear, that there is understanding in our mind and conviction and hope in our heart. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And I want to just reassure everybody here today that all words spoken here today to bring praise, honor, glory to Jesus and his kingdom, and it's not about me. I'm just a lay person. And if we see any visitors today, be sure that you tell them you love them and you're glad to hear. We've all been led here today for a reason. Someone in particular needs to hear this message. This message was originally scheduled for back before Elizabeth got sick. Renee and I just came off of vacation. I had some powerful feelings in my heart. And Gerald said that they were going to go out of town, so I put something together. And after I put it together, you know, Elizabeth took a turn for the worse, and Gerald says, look, I'm going to be here next Sunday, so just hold it for another time. So when the time came, I said, okay, no problem. Just reach in the drawer, pull it out, and here we have it. But now it's different. Don't you know it would be different? Because there's God's plan, God's timing is always perfect for what needs to be said today. Today, I feel led to do several things. Lift up and encourage fellow Christians. Offer hope to those who have not made the commitment to follow Christ. That your faith will become stronger, your steps will become bolder, and your purpose before Christ is more clear. I will talk about the following things today. I will be taught being made righteous through Christ and Scripture that offers encouraging words to Christians and their mission. I will be talking about prayers and what all prayers should consist of. I will be talking about praying when we can't find the right words. I'm going to talk about the first prayer recorded in the Bible. I'll talk about the first prayer recorded by a woman in the Bible. And I will talk about the prayer of intercession or prayer. And yes, I'm talking about prayer again. I know people say, oh, no, he's talking about prayer again. But I'm talking about prayer again because I feel led to. I don't hear enough talk about it. I don't hear enough people that I know a Christian telling me what God had done in their life. I don't hear about, I pray for this and I got that. But I'm one here to tell you today. If you hear me, if you think I'm boasting on prayer, I'm not boasting on what God's done for me, but I'm boasting on a God that will answer prayer. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. And I know that because I'm telling you, as I was preparing for this message here, I'm going through some drawers in a cabinet. I'm looking for something here or there, whatever. And I come across a stack of envelopes this thick. And that stack of envelopes had my name on them. And they were written to either me or they were sent to me to share with the deacon board at the time when things were needs and prayer concern. And they were prayers from people telling me how much they appreciate what everybody was doing, and how much they appreciated me, that they were praying for us, that they were praying for me, they were praying for the board. So I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. When you have a sense of peace, the people are there, and they're there to support you. Well, it's what a wonderful thing. And I'm telling you, this church has been wonderful, absolutely wonderful at supporting people and praying for people when that time comes. And you know who you are. As Christians, we know the Bible teaches that we are put on earth to bring for one thing and one thing only, and that's to bring praise, honor, and glory to God. Three of the four Gospels, they end with Christ giving the great commission to go into the world and spread the good news of salvation through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. We must never lose sight of that. Today's message is on prayer, and it's meant to offer encouragement to the Christian and stir conviction in those who haven't made their decision yet. I'll see how good I am with electronic stuff. Okay, we look in Matthew chapter 5, 14, 16. You are the light of the world. Okay, we're talking to Christians. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people shine a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they should put it on a stand and be glad to give its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And then we look in Ephesians. For you are once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. These are encouraging words. Come on, people. Let's get serious about our faith. Let's be mature about it. I know we're all at different stages in our faith, our walk of faith, but let's come on. It's time to stand up. Men, be men. Let's pray for our families. You're the spiritual leaders in your families. The Bible says so. As Christians, we have been given the gift of prayer. An open line of communication to God of the universe himself. Think about that. The power of prayer is reserved for God's people. James 5:16, confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that you be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Two things that we want to talk about here. A righteous man, how is a man made righteous? A man is made righteous through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. That's how he's made righteous. It's the only way he could be made righteous. And then we talk about praying fervently. The first time I've heard it where Charles Stanley used it. He said, we must pray fervently. And so what does fervently mean? Fervently means enthusiastic, passionate, great warmth, great intensity of spirit and feeling, and earnestly. I know there's people out there who have experienced kind of some of the same things that I have. The situations had come up. You've done, it's nothing you could do. And just before, out of desperation, you fall on your knees and you pray to the Lord, please help me. I need you. I need you now. And through prayer, and though prayer is reserved for Christians, made righteous through the blood of Christ, becoming a Christian starts with a prayer, confirming your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he willingly sacrificed himself for the remission of our sins that makes us righteous before God and ensures our salvation in heaven. And for our personal prayer time, Jesus teaches us. And the Bible says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Prior to this, what was said to the disciples? Don't be like the hypocrite on the corner who offers up many, many words, and his mouth is praying, but his heart's not. It ain't about the words, it's about the feeling. It's about many words. So when we look, we talk about why a secret place. Well, when we study the Bible, we don't really see it. And the Bible says, what we see is when Jesus prayed, he prayed a little bit in public. With the disciples, he prayed a little more. And when he's alone in the garden, he prayed all night. See my point? And you can say, but many times I don't know what to say or how to say it. Well, he's got that figured out too. God knows our heart before we pray. But if we offered up our prayer, we acknowledge to him our faith and to ourselves our dependence on his goodness and grace. If God knows what I'm going to say, why do I need to say it? Because if you don't confirm it, then you may not be on the same page. Okay? God wants to hear it, because when you recite it, it tells him that you understand where you're at and probably how you got there. I know we were studying in the older Sunday school class, we were talking about when Hagar was sent out in the desert, and the angel of the Lord comes into her, and the first thing he asks her is, so what's going on? Well, don't you think he knew what was going on? But until we confess, until we admit to ourselves that we know what's going on, then can we really be helped if we don't know where we need help? But when we don't have the words, God's got it all figured out. In Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Again, that's that Holy Spirit that comes to live in us when we accept Christ. Okay? He's there. If we don't know exactly how to say it, if we're trying to say it, we can't get... He's interceding for us. And intercession is such a great, great thing. We'll talk more as we get through it. But the Spirit intercedes for us so that now he is talking to God Almighty himself. And he helps us get where we need to be there. I'm going to sidetrack here just a second. And I've asked the adult class this morning, who has ever heard a pearl good? No hands. Really, nobody's ever heard a pearl good. Well, you know, I hadn't either. But I have now. So who is pearl good not? Well, I guess she's not an actress or a movie star. She's not the Prime Minister of England. I don't think she's ever run for political office. So is she important? Let's think about it. God knows our heart before we pray, but if we offer up our prayers, we acknowledge to him our faith and to ourselves our dependence on his goodness and his grace. The Bible teaches us several things about prayer. The Bible teaches us that prayer should be anchored in God's promises. If your prayers aren't working for you, think about this. Reflect on these words. The prayers must be anchored in God's promises, affirming the God's glory, ascending on God's mercy, and appealing on behalf of others. Let's look at, I know you can't see this, okay? It's okay. This is the first recorded prayer in the Bible. It's in Genesis 24, chapters 10 through 20. And I'm not going to read it exactly, but I'm going to ad-lib it. So here's the deal. We got Abraham, we've got Isaac. Sarah has passed on. Isaac's about 40, and he needs a bride. So what Abraham does is he sends out a true God-fearing servant named Eliezer. So Eliezer is a man of God. And so he sets out across the desert with a team of people and gifts. And the scripture says 10 camels. And as he comes into the region where he's been told to look for a wife for Isaac, you know, he's praying to God. And he's telling God, he said, God, if you could, give me a sign that when the right one comes around. And I want that sign to be is I'm going to ask for water. And the woman who will be the one will be the one who says, here's your water, and I'll get water for your camels too. So as we, if I reflect on that, I'm heard about, okay, so here's somebody who's saying, God, give me a sign, give me a sign. And if your relationship with God is good, then it's good to get a sign. It's good to ask for that if your heart is right with God. But suppose you said that and the person coming up was not someone that looked favorable in your eyes and you think, well, I know I asked for a sign, but he couldn't possibly be talking about that one. Okay. So your heart's got to be right and you got to be trusting. So what's the big deal about watering the camels? Well, we had this same lesson, and he worked his way in this lesson we had in adult class. They're telling us a little bit about camels. A camel can drink 30 gallons of water in 15 minutes. So he's got 10 of them, so she's willing to go and fetch 300 gallons of water. What a woman. What a woman. So as this proceeds right here, what happens is she comes up and he asks for water, he gives her water, then she agrees, or she says, I will get water, I'll water your camels too. And he gives praise to God because he knew this was the one. And he was so sure he was going to find it, but he's got the gifts in the back too. Okay? So her name was Rebecca. And then we get to the first prayer recorded by a woman. I've worked with wonderful people where I work at. And it's an exception when someone will share their prayers and the things that God has done for them in their life. There was this woman I worked with for a while. At the time, she been a few years ago, and she had prayed this prayer like Hannah did. So let me tell you about this prayer of Hannah. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 28. Okay, so Hannah is without a child. And she is anguished. She's just very down. Kind of like Sarah and Hagar, the one that's pregnant is kind of really looking down on the one who can't get pregnant. And back in those days, having a family was very, very important. No fertility clinics and all this kind of stuff, right? So she goes down for years. She's offering up her prayers. So on this particular day, she's been offering prayers and sacrifices with her husband, and just nothing's happening. So on this particular day, she goes to the temple to worship, and who is there other than the prophet Elijah? Eli. So from her heart, she is praying prayers Her lips are moving, but she's praying from her heart. You couldn't hear anything. And Eli thinks, he says, you know, are you drunk? Are you intoxicated? You know, I see your lips moving, but nothing's coming out. And she confesses to him. She says, I've been coming here. I've been talking this. I've been praying for a child. And God hasn't answered my prayers yet. And he tells her that, well, God will answer your prayer. So she leaves, and the scripture says that at that point on, she's okay. She's not down anymore. Okay, she's uplifted. She still don't have a child. But God's time is not right, because she will give birth to Samuel. And she made a deal with God. God, if you will give me a son, I will give him to you. I will give him to you. So what is so? She has a son. God's timing is right. Okay? At the age of 3, he's in the temple. And I don't know all the details as to what they go through, but he become a judge. Okay? When Israel needed a judge. Okay? She would visit him on time to time, and you got to think, how? I know you make a deal with God, but it's got to be hard to give your child up. Well, Hannah had 5 more children after Samuel. God is good. God is good. And I know this woman who prayed, like I said, she prayed. She told me that she had prayed this because she didn't have any children. And she prayed, God, if you will give me a child. He said, and she said, you know what the Bible says about the prayer of Hannah? Well, no, I didn't. I didn't know. I told God, I prayed to God, if he would give me a child, I promise I would raise it in a Christian home. I promise I would do the best I could. I would promise she would be in church every Sunday. As long as I had control over her, I was going to do this, do this, do this. Her name was Linda. Both of these prayers are a good example of the prayer of request or supplication, as they might call it. It's taking our prayers to God. If we look at Philippians, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known by God. He wants to hear about it. Come on. It's not that difficult. Part of winning the spiritual battle is praying at all times. And when I look at this Ephesians right there, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all these saints. In the prayers of Eliezer, the one that went to get the bride for Isaac, we see that Eliezer made prayer his first priority. He spoke openly with God. He shows patience, and he praises God. For Hannah knew to take her problem straight to God. In her brokenness and pain, Hannah trusted God's power and ability to work on her behalf. Hannah believed God would do what he said he would do. So after she had that discussion with Eli, you know, she goes on and she's okay. I'm willing to wait. I know I need to wait. Hannah was faithful and strong to uphold her end of the prayer as a commitment to God's plan and sovereignty. Hannah praised God. Here we learn God will never allow our pain and brokenness to have the final word. For people of faith, when we have times of brokenness, we will experience a spiritual growth spurt. And I think if you talk to people who have been through that, they will tell you that. You will have a spiritual growth spurt when you're a child of God. So let's go back. Has anybody Googled who Pearl Good is yet? No? Okay. Well, that's good. You're paying attention. So who is Pearl Good? Why would I bring up the name Pearl Good? Where is she from? With a name like Pearl Good, I would think she's from the hills of Tennessee. but she's not. Just trying to get your trying to get you to think, well, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Who is Pearl? Who is Pearl? Who is Pearl? Why have I never heard of Pearl? Well, you will. The next prayer I want to talk about is the prayer of intercession. A prayer on the behalf of others as we intercede for them. A good example of this is when Peter's freed from prison. Remember that? He's in prison. The church gets together and they pray for him. And at midnight, there's an earthquake. The doors come open. Remember that? That's a prayer of intercession by the church. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to him, to God, to him, for him by the church. And then in Luke, well, I got another one there in Luke, but I had prayed for you, Simon, and your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And then our Savior is the model of intercessory prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you just about have to be assured that practically every prayer Jesus prayed was for someone else. So if we talk about intercessory prayer, this was something new to me. I haven't heard it. I heard it first from my sister. And she explained to me that she kept finding herself in situations where she needed to pray for somebody. On an airplane, she's sitting beside a lady, and they get to talking. She said, "Will you pray for me?" She says, "Sure, I will." And she feels compelled to pray for other people. And I know there's some in here too. She told me of the time God had positioned her with strangers, and before they parted, they had prayed together. I'm watching Michael Joseph one morning, and then one broadcast. Intercessory prayer was not the main topic, but Dr. Joseph stopped just for a minute, and he spoke on it. And he said, he spoke of the most wonderful feeling it was to pray on the behalf of other people. He said no words could describe the special feeling he had. And if you want to experience it, you just got to do it. If you want to know how good it feels, you just got to do it. Have you heard of this before? Do you practice this? Do you feel a call to intercede and pray on behalf of others, and yes, even and probably most importantly, on the lost and the unsaved? Do you pray for your church? Do you pray for your church leaders? Do you pray for your government leaders? Are we praying for these people? So who is Pearl Good? Pearl Good. She's a 65-year-old widow grandmother from Pasadena, California. Pearl developed a passion for prayer and intercession at the age of 17. As an adult, Pearl's ministry of prayer and intercession undergirded Billy Graham's successful ministry for decades. This supporting article I will read was written by Billy Graham's grandson, Will Graham. At the 1949 Los Angeles Crusade, She started interceding privately for Dr. Graham. He didn't know it. The crusade was extended from 3 weeks to 8 weeks. And initially, Dr. Graham was unaware of her praying, but knew there was a holy force working. I read in his book where he said he couldn't really understand it. But he kept getting all this credit, and he felt like God's going to pull his hand up for this mission. Because they're giving me the credit, not him. But underneath, Pearl Good was praying for him. She would travel to crusades across the country at her own expense and pray fervently for Dr. Graham as he preached. She would cry out to the Lord, asking him to pour out his spirit on Graham as he preached and for souls to respond and get saved. While he's doing his crusade, she is praying the whole time. Before her passing in 1972, she had estimated she had logged more than 48,000 miles on a Greyhound bus at her own expense. Though she remained unknown for many years to the Graham team, they finally learned of her and provided transportation and accommodation. The team acknowledged her as an important part to the success God had poured onto them. Pearl also had an influence on Dr. Graham to also do more intercessory prayer himself. Intercessors, as they are called, are sometimes referred to as spiritual warriors, as God gives them a faith willing to engage spiritual battles, praying persistently for victory despite the challenges of the spiritual conflict. The doubt, the persecution, and the devil that prefers a Christian not receive any kind of prayers. Have you ever thought who may be praying for you? How many of us are here today because a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a stranger have interceded and offered a prayer on our behalf, that God would open our eyes, convict our hearts, and bring us into a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I was talking with a brother here in the church a few months back. And as parents and grandparents, the one thing that you're concerned about is your spiritual health of your children and your grandchildren. And there's always some concerns. And I told it, and I was reflecting on it, and I was reflecting on my personal experience, and I thought, well, you know, I bet somebody's been praying for me. So as I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, so I'm going to pray for my grandkids. I'm going to pray for my children. Somebody was praying for me. There's a good chance that we're all in this room today because somebody prayed for us. And if you got good parents and good grandparents, then guess what? God expects more out of us. The Bible says, too much is given, much is received. Okay? Let's proclaim it. Have you ever thought who may be praying for you? Think about it. Has there been a pearl good in your life? Is there a pearl good currently in your life? Are you a pearl good for someone in your life? I ask you, as a brother or a sister in Christ, how is your prayer life? For you, is prayer time a special occasion or a practice? I cannot stress enough the gift God has given in prayer, an open channel to the one that has created all, knows all, and can change things by merely thinking it. How material is your prayer life? Are you just starting out, or have you been reaping the benefits of prayer for some time? In regards to prayer life, what is your maturity level? Are you an infant, a child, a young adult, or are you at midlife, or are you a senior citizen? Is your prayer life at the beginning? You may question your communication skills with God. I'm not sure I'm getting my point across, you may think. Am I doing it right? At first you may wonder, and I ain't got much longer. At first you might wonder what to say or how to say it. But think of a child. Before a child can carry on a full conversation or discussion, they were simple signs of communication and acknowledgement. Their trusting eyes would follow you across the room. They may cry when you're out of sight. And you gaze into their eyes and you speak. They look back and smile. Boy, what a wonderful feeling. This is a joy to any parent. And the child knows their mother's touch and her voice. This is you in the eyes of God. And though your communication is weak and unsure, his heart is filled, just like when you're looking at baby's eyes and they look at you and smile. His heart is filled. He's listening. He's smiling. And he is joyful. You know he is. To conclude this message today, I'm going to ask the AV team to play a song. It's a song with words and feelings that so many have spoken, so many have felt. It's a song that acknowledges the wonderful gift of prayer and the hope and encouragement it offers. For so many times, if we're watching TV, there's no hope, is it? Everything's a mess, but we forget who's in charge. And the Bible said it would be this way. We shouldn't be surprised. But we need to do our part, and we need to speak for the Bible. It can defend itself, but it has no voice. It can't proclaim. That's our job. So this time I asked Michael to play this song. I got the words up here, but they may be a little slow. May be a little small. You can't see it. Adult class, you've heard it before. But I thought you'd hear it again. Maybe not. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Gail.